position number 21591, rule 1.
Ernie Rook Matthews, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
East Ham. That's in East London.
Which year was this?
1924.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in East Ham?
Actually, I went to school in... I went to elementary school in East Ham till I was 11. Then I went to St Bonaventure's Grammar School, which was in Forest Gate, which is in, over the boundary.
How old were you when you finished at the grammar school?
16.
So that must have been 1940.
1940, that's right.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
No. I was in church on the Sunday morning. I'd already been evacuated. I was in church on the Sunday morning when the brother came up the aisle, told the vicar, who was just about to preach his sermon, and the vicar terminated the service with a prayer because he thought it wouldn't be anybody would miss. So that was when I heard about it.
Can you tell me about your evacuation experience, please?
Oh, well, I had a wonderful time. We were we were lined up for evacuation in the August, and we were actually evacuated about 3 days before, towards the end of August. We went to Suffolk. I was billeted with people on a farm in a place called Trimley, which is about three miles from Felixstowe. And we went, the whole school, or such of us was there. We shared facilities at the Felixstowe Grammar School. That was until, it can't be precise, but somewhere towards the end of 1939. And then they decided that Felixstowe on the East Coast wasn't quite the right place to have evacuees. So we were transported to the Rhondda Valley, to a place called Treherbert in the Rhondda Valley. And so I finished my schooling at the Treorchy Grammar School.
Did you enjoy both the evacuations?
I had a wonderful time. I played football. We did all the other things. I learned to play bowls with the youngsters in the Rhondda. Played bowls at my age on the bowling green. I say the question. I had been away before on occasion to camps, that sort of thing. So I suppose from that point of view, and being back that much older, I really enjoyed it. If that's not quite the right way to say, but I did. Apart from obviously the dress a bit. See, while I was in Suffolk, I could come home occasionally because there was coaches used to run literally from there to almost the corner of our road. Once I went down to Wales, of course, that was a different thing. But I was with a lovely family, actually with a dentist. my brother, my brother was evacuated, my younger brother. So when I say that, there were the two of us. But we were very rarely billeted together. That didn't particularly worry us either. But he was billeted actually with a miner. But I was with a dentist.
Did the war affect you at all in Treherbert or in Felixstowe?
I don't think so. Because there was nothing on there. Apart from a ship being sunk off the coast of Felixstowe, because Felixstowe pre-war had been a seaplane base or something like that, but that's by the way. Just like being in another place with people who were very, very friendly, very, very motherly, particularly in Wales. I mean, she was the archetypal film Welsh mother, but No, I was quite happy. I was quite happy.
Did any bombs fall near you?
Oh, then? No, no, that's a different story. We jump a bit now. I know, I finished my schooling there. I took my school certificate examination there. And once we completed the term, in about, what, July, I think we used to end, I came back. That was it. I had no intention of going on to higher levels. I just wanted to take what would be today's equivalent of the O levels, or whatever they call it, school certificate, we used to call it, on the trip. That was it. I'd finished the school. So I came back. Next thing, to start looking for work.
What was your address in then, East Ham in the world?
I'm trying to think. Where were we? No, we were still living in the East Ham, in a street called Florence Road, which was not far from the Upton Park station. We were still living there at that time.
Did you experience any bombing there?
Well, yeah. Well, now this is when we come to it. I had very, very vivid memories of this. On September the 7th, I was a football fan addict, and we lived very near to the West Ham football ground. So on September the 7th, that Saturday, West Ham were actually playing Tottenham Hotspur. It was about 15 minutes from the end of the game, and what used to happen, I mean, very small ground, but what used to happen, the sirens went, but they had spotters on the open terraces, and so nobody moved until the spotters started blowing their whistles. Well, then, sorry. Yes, so, and as I say, then the planes came over, German planes. See, where we were living, lies between the River Roding, which is the Essex boundary on one side, and I forget the other river, which was the boundary of the London County Council area. This is East Ham and West Ham, which is now the London Borough of Newham. Which we didn't know then, but we know since, was one of the main targets of it. In other words, you've got the Beckton Gasworks, which was purported to be the biggest gasworks in Europe. You've got the Barking Power Station, which fed half of London. You've got the Greenwich Outfall sewer ran right round North London, North Outfall, and came out into the River Thames. River Thames is the southern boundary of the area. And in the northwest corner, you've got the Stratford Marshalling Yards. So, you know, that was. That was September the 7th. That went on basically up till November, what have you.
What did you do when the warning went at the football ground?
Believe it or not, the game finished. It was only about 10 minutes ago. We all trooped out. I headed for home. And by that time, there was obviously activity, because I remember my father came out. He knew where I was. My father came out because he'd been a World War veteran, and with guns firing and that sort of thing. He thought it was a little bit risky to be out. But that was it. But see, what happened also around about all this time, I had to get a job. So I got a job. I got a temporary job while I was waiting to go to work for the London County Council. So I was travelling up to the city to work, and then later on in that, I joined the Home Guard. But, so we were in this, we were having these raids know, literally for the first part, night after night after night. Well, we were having warnings about him. We had some heavy rays as well, but a lot of occasions one got the impression that there were a lot of nuisance. Yeah, keep them flying overhead, keep everybody awake half the night. But no, that was it. We
did any bombs fall near you?
Well, yeah. So jumped on that actually. We in the march, we March 41. We had a parachute mine. Actually, I've got a picture of that. not the parachute mine, I've got a picture of what happened. But I was in the Home Guard at that time, and came home with my mate about 12. It was one of the worst. What happened, you hear, in the March, April and May, they had really heavy raids. I'm told it's something to do with the moon and all that sort of thing, you know, time. But a really heavy raids, and on this time they were using these parachute mines, and we'd come home, we're both in the Home Guard. We came home about 11:45. We got to go to work the next day, and as we turned into our row, we saw this parachute come down. And I smiled now, because every Home Guard's ambition was to, you see a parachute coming down, you know, capture an air, but you know, something. But then, of course, when as it came further down, got this great big thing on the bottom. And it came down actually in the middle of the road, a bit further, by which time we'd appreciated the risk and, you know, hit the ground and exploded. And so that was the, I mean, actually we had about, I think according to the official records, about 18 people killed there, because a lot of them would not go to shelters. But we were in the epicentre of erosion, with a bit further up. Our place, which our house, just became uninhabitable. And that is nightmare. That's quite well documented in the local reports. But in this meantime, in January, I had started work in a hospital in East London, Marlin Hospital, which is now part of the London Hospital, still exists, I don't know in what form. And of course, there we were on the clerical post, and quite often I was on at nights, we were documenting, you know, casualties, that sort of thing. I worked part of the time in, we used to have a medical superintendent in those days. And so I started working in the hospital and worked there till I was called up.
Were you dealing with war casualties in the hospital?
People from bomb casualties, yes. What was happening was they were being brought here in the decade, and then where they were fit to be moved, then they were transported out to hospitals, you know, further out.
Was the hospital under much pressure because of the war?
Oh, I think the nursing staff and the medical staff. As I say, I was working in an office with the medical superintendent's secretary, just merely, you know, recording the ins, recording the outs, and admissions and discharges, purely documentation, nothing else other than that. But of course, it meant you had to be on nights quite often to assist it. But I mean, you weren't involved. You weren't involved in it. I mean, I merely passed. You didn't even see those people. You know, the nurse or whatever. You would just come in with a load of into the office with a load of papers, and we'd document them, or take whatever action was necessary.
Did you have any other bombing incidents at this time?
No, nothing personally. But, I mean, West Ham, of course, that area was quite heavily bombed on a number of occasions, particularly in the very early stages. That was quite no. We were very fortunate on a personal basis. However, spending half my time in the Home Guard, and which I and the other half at the hospital, I'd go home at weekends to change clothes, because my father was in the fire service, so my mother was there with one brother who was my younger brother was still evacuated. My eldest brother was unfit for military service, and he was working, dealing with evacuation of school children and mothers. He worked for the social services department.
Was the hospital hit by bombs?
The hospital, yes, did have some bomb damage. That actually, because I didn't arrive till the January. This had happened just a few months previously. Part of one of the wards had been hit.
What was it like in the Home Guard?
Well, that was like because despite all they say, I mean, a lot of us say this was a company in East Ham. We were issued with uniforms. We were issued with everything right from the start, and we used to receive quite a fair amount. We used to go onto the rifle range. And the other part, which was very relevant to my service career, we had a chappy with us who'd been a wireless operator, signaller in the First World War, and then who taught us signaling, you know, Morse code. So I learned. You know, we didn't have any wirelesses, but I learned the Morse code with a keyboard. Learned sending things with flags and that sort of. In other words, I became quite competent at sending and reading more stuff. So from that point of view, yes, it was. For the rest of the time, it was semi-social. You know, you go up there night. They had a bar, not that I didn't drink, but they had a bar and you know that sort of thing. But we did exercise. And We laid a line from our, which was the company headquarters, to the battalion headquarters or whatever. Laid it all on the telegraph poles, whereupon in a short time it was pulled down. But we were quite active because we got the rifle ranges down in Essex, Purfleet, and that sort of thing. So we had the opportunity, and we were issued with rifles.
Did you think the Germans would invade?
I don't really think. Well, about all, you know, you just listen to the various bits of news, and you know about Dunkirk and that sort of thing. No, I can't say that. Yes, of course, this was something that ever really occurred to me.
What did your Home Guard units have a name or number?
Yes, it was part of the we called the 13th Battalion. The company in East Ham, based in East Ham, at what I believe had been previously been a church hall. Which covered an area that covered much of West Ham and East Ham, that sort of thing. That's about methods. You know, we had, of course, what you had, of course, it was a mixture. In other words, you had a large number of World War One veterans, and at the other end, you had 16 and 17 year olds. Not very many sort of in between, because if they were, you know, if they were 20, 21, they had called up then, but they probably got into services or something like that.
So what was the name or number?
Just had a name.
What was the name of the unit?
Oh, the unit. Oh, this was C Company, as far as I understood it, brackets East Ham Home Guard.
Did you think the Germans would win the war at this stage?
Oh, I don't think they ever thought that. No. No. I think one was more. No, I mean a bit, but I think one was more interested in or the bank of, you know, when am I going to get involved? Typical of the teenage. Yeah. About 1940. Ambitions to be a fighter pilot, you know. He went through all the different stages, and then you had the commandos come along, and by the time eventually I got called up. I had no sort of preference at all when I eventually had to register for military service. I merely said I don't want to go in the Navy. They said, well, in the majority will go in the Army anyway, unless there's some special. And that was it. And
why didn't you want to go in the Navy?
Oh, that would frighten the life out of me. The Navy, I'd get seasick. No, I had no desire about that. And the other part was. Seen, I mean, we saw bits of the Battle of Britain at that age, 16, 17. You thought you'd like to be a fighter pilot, but that was the sort of thing that went as you were further on.
What happened when you were called up?
I was annoyed. No, my immediate boss was a Scotswoman, and I got my calling up papers. Now, most of the chappies that I knew around there had been called up to the depots around the London area, Essex and Middlesex and what have you. I got called up to Perth, which I learned from her was the depot of the Highland Regiment, the Black Watch. So that was it. I didn't like that, I must admit. I did not like that. I was 6 weeks up there. We didn't see much of the place anyway. They barely let you out of the door. We were actually billeted in a factory next door to the barracks. We were trained by, and that was just 6 weeks training.
Why didn't you like it?
I don't know. I couldn't say. That stage, it was all get changed, get into this. You know, everything like to make life very rough. You go out. You go out and you do a session of PT or running like that. Then you came back. Then you had to change into your battle dress to do marching drill. And when it says you had to come back and change into fatigue dress to do something else. And it got a little bit sort of and boring. And while we were there, what they did, of course, the other thing is they did all this series of aptitude tests to assess your potential or ability, whatever, which I must admit, when I was interviewed, the first part of the comments shook me, but the second part, I brightened up.
What was the first
part? Well, what happened was they had come to the conclusion, I think the actual words used by the interviewing officer was that I was mechanically incompetent or something. I mean, quite frankly, I stood there with plugs in pieces. I hadn't got a clue. I had no aptitude. But having the you had the intelligence test and that sort of thing, and that part of it I was quite pleased with, because it's sort of your above average intelligence and above average education stand. Well, I think all that meant then was, I mean, I had been through a grammar school. I had got the equivalent of matric, and therefore, I suppose that would make us that different. But the other thing was, he decided that I had got no mechanics, but they felt that I would make a good wireless operator. I must confess, I did a terrible thing. I roared with laughter. And just imagine an officer who is 18. And I said, well, sir, I can read and send Morse at 25 words a minute. So I would hope. So the long and short was, you're not suited for the infantry. I don't know whether quite right. Perhaps I could march in step or something like that. But I was very happy. I was quite happy. I was posted from there. It was just 6 weeks course. I was posted then to the Armoured Corps at Barnard Castle, where this was a 13-week course, which the major part of it was training as a wireless operator. You had to, actually this was a training regiment for, not tanks, but for armoured cars, scout cars, that sort of thing. And you did enough of driving to know how to sort of put it in gear and start it off. You did enough gunnery to be able to fire, load or unload the gun, but basically it was as a wireless operator. And it was while on that course that they had a little group came down from the Paras. They were all a couple people had come back from North Africa, and this was, when was this? Would be October, November 42. This was at the time they were making their name in North Africa, and they'd got this nickname from the French or the Germans or whatever it was, the Red Devil. Anyway, they came round on this. By this time, I'd got pallied with a couple of chaps. And they haven't listened to the spiel and what happened. Well, we all haven't listened. They decided they were going to volunteer. Well, what do you do when you're 18? Do you make volunteer? I had no particular desire, but so I put my name down for them.
What happened next?
Well, we were required to complete the course. that was one of the things at that time. You could not be trained for personal regiment, that sort of thing. See, by this time, in 1942, they'd introduced this national selection systems. You could identify people, they got an eight-figure number beginning with 1-4, whereas prior to that, they'd had a regimental number. They introduced this business of a 6 weeks course to examine potential, what you're capable of doing. And then